Good morning and welcome to worship here at St Andrew's. Our gathering words are inside the front of your order of service. On this month, on this day, we celebrate beginnings. We reflect on priorities. What is our call in partnership with others? What is our priority in what to do? As we follow our forebears and our leader Jesus, why will we decide to follow this year? May we find wisdom, courage, and strength to answer the call. So may it be. Welcome here today. I enjoy the beginning of the year in that there's New Year at the beginning. Then I have a birthday in January, so that's another new beginning. And then I come back to work and it's another new beginning. And so I generally kind of don't get into life till about March, really. So it's lovely to see you all again and to see that you've survived a very hot summer. And it's good to be here. I want to mention, and it may have been mentioned before during January, but it's very appropriate today on the Sunday we think about the treaty, the death of Millie Takawa, Wayne Takawa's mother. She may have been better known to you as some that way, but Millie was moderator of Te Aka Poahu for a long time and a very important kuia up at Ohopi at the marae there, the church marae. And for me, she was a person who was around at the time that I started taking notice of the bicultural journey, and she was extremely warm and welcoming. Very wise, but as I said in my email to Wayne, also very direct at the same time. And she's a great loss. She's a great loss. But we gather and we continue on, as these mighty people pass, we take up the baton, we take up the beacon, we take up the torch. Kia ora tātou. Let us pray. As we come, some of us well into our year's work, some of us just beginning it again, some of us not noticing much of a change because life becomes the same without a regular schedule of work to attend. But here we are on the first Sunday of February, and the Sunday that is before the treaty signing day at Waitangi. And so we are thinking of the beginnings of our country today as a background to what we might be thinking and feeling. And so we ask for open hearts. We ask for aroha to be our attitude to life. We ask for respect for others' mana to be here in this place. So may it be. Amen. So the rainbow candle is waiting here for a child to come and light it. Who might be out there? Yes, come on up. Maya, good to see you. So what year are you in this year, apart from 2018? Year five. Good on you. Maya Kingi lights the candle. How are you going with the cords there? Get it under that. Yep, that's it. And blow it out so you don't blow out the rainbow candle. Well done. A year five student obviously is very competent. How about you take a seat in the front row there? Are there any more that would like to join her to talk to Rosemary? Any adults like to join her to talk to Rosemary? Does it need switching on? There you go. Yes, that's nice of him to come and join us, youngies and oldies.
Sione, Maya, and children. Right. Oh, here we are. Kezia. Good morning to you. I have a story for you this morning. Because it's a new year, hands up those who've started school already. Yep. Some schools don't start till after Waitangi Day. But we will go up to the Rainbow Room after this and I will talk to you. We'll talk more about new schools, new teachers, new classrooms, all that's new. But I'm going to tell you a story about a man who got some new clothes. Once upon a time, that's a lovely way to start a story. That means long time ago, there was an emperor, sort of like a king. And he loved clothes, and he thought he was very important, and he loved showing off in new clothes. So one day there was a knock on his door at the palace, and two men came and said to him, because they were weavers, they made cloth, and they said, "Emperor, we weave the finest cloth in the whole world." And one of them said, "In fact, it's so fine that some stupid people can't even see it." And the king said, "Splendid. Make me a new robe." And he grabbed a bag of gold because he was very rich and he gave it to the weavers and said, "There's a room in my palace. Start making cloth." Oh, he was so excited. And he looked in the mirror and imagined what he'd look like. And about 3 days later, he said, "There's a procession in town. I will have new clothes for the procession. I'll be able to walk down the main street in my new clothes. Better check up how the weavers are going." So he sent his prime minister to the room, knocked on the door, and the weavers held up some cloth. And they said, "This is the most beautiful color. And the patterns, look at the patterns, they're superb." And the Prime Minister couldn't see anything, But he didn't want people to think he was stupid, especially the weavers, so he said, "Splendid." And back he went to the emperor, who said, "How is it going?" "Beautiful colours, splendid patterns, and it will be ready for the procession." And the emperor was pleased, and he sent another bag of gold to the weavers. Now the morning of the procession came, and the emperor and his prime minister and other ministers gathered together in the room, ready to get the garments, the robes to wear. In came the weavers, held them up. Nobody could see anything, but nobody said anything because they didn't want to feel stupid. And the emperor took his clothes off. He left his shoes on. And he took his clothes off. And the weavers pretended to dress and put his robes on. And the emperor looked in the mirror and he could just see himself with shoes on. Nothing else. But he looked at the other people and they said, "Perfect. Super fit. Splendid." All the ministers said, nodding. And the emperor didn't want to look stupid, so he said, "Great, let's go to the procession." And off down the main stream they went, with the emperor at the front. And the people all looked, and they didn't want to feel stupid either, so they said, "Bravo, lovely colours, splendid outfit." And they began cheering, and the emperor was very pleased, and then suddenly a voice rang out. It was a child who said in a loud voice, "The emperor's got no clothes on." And then people looked around and they said, "The child's right. He's naked. He's naked." And they began to laugh. Laughed and laughed and laughed. And the poor emperor, he blushed bright red and he felt very stupid. And someone put another bit of cloth around him. And that's the end of the story, called "The Emperor's New Clothes." What do you think we might learn from a story like that? Keezy. Yes, Hans Christian Andersen. You probably do. Lots of people know that story. What might we learn from that? Anyone can answer. Yes. Children are wise. Yes. Children speak the truth. Yes. Pride goes before a fall. Lots of lessons from that one. So, shall we go upstairs to the Rainbow Room? We'll take, and Roger will come as well, and we'll come back for communion. Right. Thank you. Oh, no, we have a blessing.
We make our circle. We send you to the Rainbow Room to hear stories, ask questions, and have fun together. We bless you. Amen. And we pass the peace, and visitors, we do this enthusiastically, but do not be afraid. Lynn reads the readings. I want to say something I didn't say before, because I was focusing on Millie's death. But welcome, everyone, and you're very welcome to stay with us after church. There are no signs of tea and coffee up the back because it's going to be in the hall prior to a lunch, to which you're all very welcome to come. And it doesn't matter if you haven't brought food. I always say we can go home and have a snack afterwards if we're still hungry. So do think about that during the service and plan to come and join us for that extra in the hall after the service.
The first reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16 to 23. "For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel I may offer it free of charge, and so not make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. The second reading is from Mark 1, chapters 29, verses 29 to 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and set off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." And so he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. And the contemporary reading this morning is from Seeking Aliveness, called Here We Are by Bruce McLaren. Picture the unfolding of creation. Imagine how uncountable nuclei and electrons and sister particles danced and whirled. Imagine how space dust coalesced into clouds, and how clouds coalesced into galaxies, and how galaxies began to spin, sail, and dance through space. Imagine how, in galaxy after galaxy, suns blazed, solar systems twirled, and worlds formed. Around some of those worlds, moons spun, and upon some of those worlds, storms swirled, seas formed, and waves rolled. And somewhere in between the smallest particles and the largest cosmic structures, here we are, in this galaxy, in this solar system, on this planet, in this story, around this table, at this moment, with this chance for us to breathe, think, dream, speak, and be alive together. Today, think of yourself as surfing on the leading edge of a magnificent creation that has been unfolding for billions of years. For the word in Scripture, for the word among us, for the word within us, we give thanks.
Let us pray. As we consider the why of being here, we ask for open hearts and minds, for a receptive spirit, and for a sense of adventure. So may it be. Amen. Here we are in this galaxy, in this solar system, on this planet, in this story, around this table at this moment, with this chance for us to breathe, think, dream, speak, and be alive together. What a privilege it is to be alive at this moment in time. What then can help us to breathe, think, dream, speak, and be alive together? As I sat down during the week to start this reflection, there seemed to be a block. I couldn't work out what it was, and then I don't know what prompted me to turn to this diagram, which is in your order of service. Just bear with me for a moment. I can see that the first half of what I'm saying today will sound like a business motivation seminar, but I do have a deeper purpose. Simon Sinek points out that we often know what we do. That's the things that go in the outer circle. What do we do here? We gather and sing and reflect and study, and we give and we advocate and we lobby. We greet each other in the passing of the peace. We bond with each other. We do a lot of things. And they're good things. We can also be very articulate about how we like those things to be done, represented by the middle circle. We lobby assertively. We advocate respectfully. We reflect theologically. We welcome inclusively. And in fact, the more I think about it, we are very particular here about how we do things. As I mentioned in the blog this week, we as a church have also declared a lot of things about our identity. We are non-nuclear. We are peace-loving. We are inclusive. We are supportive of fair trade and accredited as a living wage employer, to mention some of our declarations. But in response to both of these lists of what we do and how we do it, the burning question is why, sitting there at the centre of Sinek's diagram. Why do we come here rather than go to another church? Why do we come to church at all? Why do we find ourselves unable to stop following a spiritual path, even though that path may differ through our life in shape and size and sometimes direction? Why bother at all to do these things, and why, if we cease doing them for a time, do we sometimes find ourselves drifting back to some form of spiritual connection? So this is where I could continue on a business orientation and convince us all how better to sell the church to those who do not come, but that's not my purpose here. I think there's an important connection between this kind of business model and what has been happening to the church. In general, I think the Christian church has assumed that the why is not for mere humans to work out, that God is the why, or sets the why, of church and Christianity, and we are to deal with the how we will do this and what we will do. But it's becoming obvious to me we've put the right things in the wrong circle. In the why circle, I think Christendom has put, possibly without thinking about it too much, God, the kind that lives in heaven, learning from a reliable holy book, the Bible, praying to that God out there, and regular attendance and commitment to church. And I'm coming to the conclusion that widely through Christendom we have assumed that is the why that we embrace the Christian way, the reason why we are Christian. And then we have argued, usually quite a lot, about how we will do things and what we will do, and those hows and whats have proliferated and expanded and become very different from church to church and community to community and individual to individual. Now, this worked fine when the objects or activities we had at the core as our why as a religion worked for us. Increasingly, however, one by one in our society, for people in general, they have suffered in their reputation, their relevance, and their satisfaction scores for many in our world who used to be or would otherwise have been churchgoers. The concept of that external God in the heavens has taken a knock since the Enlightenment for many people. And from the turn of the 19th century into the 20th, the Bible has lost its reputation as a supernaturally infallible, historically accurate document. And for those who are unconvinced about God, their previous form of praying to an all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful God has also lost its luster. And we can see that church has lost ground since other activities compete with it for patronage on Sundays. Ecclesiastical language has become outmoded compared with contemporary language. And mores in society have altered, and the church may be resented for setting what seem to be unattainable targets of morality, while at the same time, unfortunately, the church in many places has lost its clean, good image as different forms of abuse are identified and exposed. This kind of reality is the reality for many in our society. So for society in general, gradually over time, there is nothing left in the inner circle that would convince them that church, Christianity, spirituality, in a Christian sense, could be a place where their why could be. And we who are still brought to the Christian spiritual path by a deep-seated yearning find we cannot talk well with such people because those inner circle entities are no longer agreed common ground between them and us. So I suggest that Christendom put the wrong eggs in the why basket. Those eggs, I want to suggest, actually belong in the how basket. Which leaves the central circle of the why question still empty. But we have a clue as to what should have been there. In fact, I think what was there all the time, only we didn't notice. What should have been there all along, all through the ages of Christendom since the 4th century? We needed to have guarded that space and kept it free for the really important why. What is it that we really want at our deepest selves? Why do we exist? Why do we need? Why do we yearn? Why do we follow the Christian religion or more generally the spiritual path at all? What is it inside us that pushes us to do so? And so what we're kind of asking is, what is the question that fits these answers? If God, Bible, and praying and church are the hows we might do our why, what is the why that would be addressed by those hows? The why questions behind those hows are very different for each person, and yet I believe they have a common core. And if I was to tell you my why after careful thought and reflection, and you were to tell me mine, I think we would find that we were talking on common ground. For they are deep within everyone's psyche, and they resonate when we hear them. Though our own why statement resonates with us, and others resonates, other people's statements resonate with ours. They all have something to do with the meaning of our life, and we feel alive when we access them. And when the activities we encounter access them directly, we feel alive doing that activity. Why then is the question? Why would you interact with God, Bible, prayer, or church? What is the why that would be satisfied by that? It might be because your why for being on a spiritual path of any kind is to find the meaning of your life. Or you might tell me that your deepest yearning is to connect with the center. Or you might tell me it is to discover the essence within existence. And if any of you have read Tillich in your past, you'll recognise where that comes from. Or, as Brian McLaren says, it might be to seek aliveness. Aren't you much more interested in those four statements than God, church, Bible, prayer that was there before? That's the kind of why that's deep in someone's heart. And I believe it always has been, right from the first moment when the archetypal parents of humanity, Adam and Eve, reached for the knowledge of good and evil. They wanted to satisfy their why. Well, for many years of Christendom, traditional Orthodox God, Bible, prayer, church filled that deep yearning because the way they presented was compatible with the culture. We didn't notice that we might have our eggs in the wrong basket. Do be assured I'm not questioning the quality of the eggs. I'm just questioning the appropriateness of their placement. Now that these eggs, if I can refer to God, church, Bible and prayer as eggs, are not as so compatible and helpful in the same way to many, now ill-fitting for many in our postmodern age, we need to rediscover the real why and listen to what is the why at the hearts of those who never come here. Then we go to those traditional values and discover how they now, in this day and age and time, can satisfy that deep, deep why that rings down through the centuries in human hearts, the question humankind has always asked, though we may not have known it. This is not following the latest spiritual fad or fashion. I was intrigued with the epistle reading. On the one hand, when Paul says, I become like a Jew for the Jews, I become weak for the weak, you could say, well, you know, he's a bit of a chameleon, isn't he? Isn't this the Vicar of Bray, changing with every political wind that blows? So I'm not advocating sucking up to people, to use an elegant phrase, to follow what they want. If we're really accessing what is deep in us and what is deep in them, then we have a very, very important and deep connection. It's digging deep, deep down to find the archetypal spiritual yearning within the very depths of all humankind. And because God, church, prayer, and Bible are now not dominating the central circle, but are in the larger how circle, we can add other hows to our spiritual repertoire. In that middle circle, we can add meditation, mindfulness, contemplation, social justice awareness, environmental concern, walks on the beach, tramps in the hills, unconventional families, changing gender identity. All of those might be the way in which we express the deep why within us. We add those and what's on the outside circle, not because they are cool or because they will be slick marketing to attract others, because they are non-religious activities, or because we can't think of anything spiritual people might like, but because they answer our deepest why questions, and therefore they will answer others' deepest why questions as well. We need to wake up, as Apple and Coke and the Winter Olympics marketers have already done. You don't capture people's attention with a product. You don't satisfy their why that way. You capture people's attention and you serve them best by answering their why. So Coke doesn't wisely offer you sugary fizzy drinks. It offers happiness and smiles. And Apple doesn't offer computers. It offers the opportunity to be at the cutting edge of technology. Isn't that more exciting than buying a computer? Cutting edge of technology. And the Winter Olympics, I notice, is not offering us only sports. It invites us to join in and become the light. That's much closer to a why question. As long as we just tell people in flyers and on organisational charts that we do studies and we have discussions and concerts and lectures and write submissions, they won't know why we do that. and whether the why that motivates us resonates with their why that is sitting deep within them. It occurred to me at this stage to wonder if we will ever get to the stage of thanking the people who left the church since the 60s, who knew something was wrong even though they may not yet have been able to articulate their why, who weren't prepared to put up with the incongruity and in their leaving alerted us to the problem of our misplaced eggs. They have been like the canaries in the mine, alerting us to the incongruities and the danger. So this week, imagine that we as a faith community were signing a treaty with our society and agreeing to work in partnership for our mutual spiritual good. In making that deal, what priority would we place on discovering the why question that we have in common with those who don't come here often? Not escaping into finding a common what we do or even a common how we do it, but digging deep to find the why that will offer us all so much energy and promise. How much practice, too, will we then need to be brave enough to tell others our why and expose that why to other scrutiny rather than just our how and our what? I've already fallen into this trap this year. I prepared a flyer on Wednesday about who and what St Andrews is, and it turns out to have nothing at all in it about why we do what we do. I produced two sides of an A4 full of great what's we do and how we do it, but there was not a why to be seen. It's terrible when you start reflecting in order to make a reflection. I'm sure that when we get talking, we will rapidly find our whys and even maybe a collective why that we can all agree on. That would be a miracle. If we can get the wording down to a basic enough level like become the light, I'm sure we will find it's uncannily like the why that is within the hearts of those who walk past our doors and maybe never into a church. We heard why statements in the two readings, and it's from the why statements that all of our hows and whats should arise. Paul said, "What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel I may offer it free of charge." And Jesus saying, even after a successful healing event, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." And remember, Brian McLaren suggests the why of the whole universe is that we can breathe, think, dream, speak, and be alive together. The ripples spread out from our why. So to what purpose will we sign up this year? Will we beaver away at lots of hows and whats? Or will we discern why we are here and then fit everything into that? A space of quiet. Our offerings for work here and beyond and food for the food bank will be received. You might like to spend the time while it is being collected thinking about why we give. We have much in our lives and others have less. We know that there are those who will benefit from this food, and we hold them in mind with compassion and love. And this church and activities beyond it will benefit from our money. We pray that both money and food will achieve the purpose for which they have been given, and that as a result, blessing may be there for many people. So may it be, and we all say, Amen. The affirmation of faith is there for you to say as many words of it as you can. Seeking to progress in my spiritual walk, I believe diverse sources of wisdom are available to us, and that following the Jesus way leads to awareness of the sacred and the unity of all life. I value community, which includes all types and styles of belief and people, questions more than absolute answers, and the search for understanding, which deepens awareness. I strive as I am able for peace and justice among all people, to protect and restore the integrity of our earth. I commit as I am able to a path of lifelong learning, compassion and selfless love, knowing the true expression of what I believe is how I behave towards other people. If people who have notices would like to come up to the front seat while I'm talking, that would be great. A couple of things. Pride Festival begins soon. You'll see if you look through the February-March program at the top of the notices that it's mentioned for February the 25th and March the 4th. Those are Sundays in which we are in the Pride Festival program, saying that we are a church that is open and welcoming to the Rainbow community. So it'll be good if we are, particularly on those days. Also, there is a stall in the Pride, the Out in the Park Day on February the 24th, and baking is needed. Maxine has very kindly listed a whole lot of names of bakers there, so we know who you are. But if you can help with that, do get in touch with me, or Ellen too would know. And we're actually in the actual written festival program, to which we owe thanks to Jem Traylan, who managed to get us in there in time. So we are on, we're down there. People will see that we're open for business. Plus two talks that are being held at on our premises. Any other notices?
Good morning, everyone. I'm Colma Froggatt, and this is just a little bit of personal news that I would like to share. The people already know, some people do, so please bear with me. Quite a few people probably know that Paul and I had planned to retire to Tauranga at some time this year. A number of things have happened which has meant that we're going a little bit earlier than I really wanted to. And so we will be leaving Wellington probably early April. We don't have a definite date yet. And I'm just still getting my head around leaving Wellington, because I have lived in Wellington almost all my life, and in particular leaving here is going to be a pretty big thing for me. So that's what's happening.
Hello, I'm Wendy Matthews, and I'd just like to draw your attention to the fourth notice under the heading Wider Church and Community Notices. This is a talk by Brother Peter Bray. I have heard him speak a couple of years ago, a great speaker, but even more exciting than that is the students that he has. It's a university for Palestinians. They have all the difficulties of closed border crossings and so on and so on, but they are the most wonderful, feisty young people who are determined there's going to be a future, and wonderful young women. So if you can get to that, I really, really recommend it.
Hi, my name is Sue McRae, otherwise known as Soccer Doodle. And over the summer, my why for watching so much tennis on TV was that I could actually achieve two things at once and do some knitting. In the absence of any new orders, because it was so hot, who would want to wear woolen socks? I decided, because I'm a Presbyterian, you'll be proud of me, I had a room full of sock leftovers. For every pair of socks you wonderful people have ordered, there's always a little ball of wool left over. And that pile has grown to the point where my husband said it was grounds for divorce, and he was moving out, unless I moved out, the whole room full of sock leftover wool. So what I did was I started making a Frau Schulzdecke, a German pattern, to, you'll recognise it as a kind of Peggy square. This is a small sample of what may become a huge blanket that will cover the entire church, but I may be dead by the time that happens. There are 81 squares here. Each of them represents a pair of socks that somebody in this parish probably ordered and may be wearing. And it's not for sale. It's to act as a memory blanket to me and a sample blanket for anyone who would like to order socks this year. If you like any of these colours or dislike them intensely, you can tell me when you place your order. Please don't make them that hideous orange colour, or please make them more green like that, and then I'll know exactly what you want. So here's a sample of what Sockadoodle can do for you. And the why, apart from to justify so much tennis watching on TV, is it's a fundraiser for Changemakers Refugee Forum, if you don't know. I've been doing this now for the last year or so, and all the proceeds, apart from the wool costs, which I need to buy more wool to feed my habit, all the proceeds from the sale of your socks go to this lovely organisation in Wellington, which helps former refugees have a better life here in Wellington by giving them business mentoring opportunities, getting documentation they need, such as passports and visas and all sorts of things, and driving licences, just some of the things they do apart from English language training and other help to make them live lives that have real meaning. So I think it's a great organisation. And if you would like to order socks for yourself, for your family or friends, come and see me afterwards and check out the sample blanket. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. And I would like to say a very, very big thank you to Maxine for her shepherding of the bakers to produce such a lovely amount of money for the organ restoration. It was a work of love. And I'm sure once everyone got into it, they wondered why on earth they were doing it. But we thank them. Yes. Thank you. Also, I've been asked to by Jolene to let you know, if you look at the right at the end of the notices, the last one that's there should be TPPA, and it should say, "Let's not do this." We thought you might have a nice laugh over that. Let's not do that is what that meeting is about. Pat.
Of the people. We give thanks for a new year and the chance for a new beginning in our community. We give thanks to those who have worked through the holiday period for our benefit. We hold in the light those of our extended community who have had difficult times over the holiday period. We give thanks for Te Tiriti o Waitangi, which continues to facilitate and enhance the diversity of our nation. As a faith community, we have already committed ourselves to act for a just and peaceful world and to be catalysts for discovery, compassion and celebration in this capital city of Aotearoa, New Zealand. But we need continuing discernment to discover how we enact this mission statement. And we need continuing discernment to discover to what covenant we are going to sign up in 2018. We pray for the faith which will give substance to our hopes and yearnings, and which will give us certainty regarding the realities which we cannot yet see. From the book of Requests for Prayer, we pray for the speedy recovery of Jacques in France following emergency surgery on Friday, and all of his family, who includes Lynn and Ben. And in the circle of prayer, we think today of the people of the Democratic Republic of Congo and the Presbyterian community of the Democratic Republic of Congo. In New Zealand, we remember those in Parliament, and today we name Todd McLay, Rotorua electorate, and Ian McKelvey, Rangitikei electorate MPs. Here in the Central Presbytery, we pray for the leaders and people of Stratford, St Andrew's Presbyterian Church. And we conclude the prayers of the people by saying the Jesus Prayer in Māori. E to mātou mātua i te rangi, kia tapu tō ingoa, kia tai mai tō rangatiratanga, kia mea tia tau e pai ai ki runga ki te whenua, kia rite anō ko tō te rangi. Ho mai kia mātou aia nei, he tāro ma mātou mō tēne rā. Murua o mātou hara, me mātou hoki e muri nei. I o te hunga e hara ana kia mātou. Awa hoki mātou e kāwea kia whakawaia, engari whakaorangia mātou i ke kino. No hoki te rangatiratanga, te kaha me te kororia, ake, ake, ake. Amine.
I'm delighted to announce that on the 29th of April, which is the Wellington anniversary of the signing of the treaty in Wellington, and a Sunday, we will be having a special celebration service here, and the people from Te Kākano will come and join us, and I hope also to invite local Māori to come and help us celebrate that. 2 years ago at the Treaty of Waitangi lectures at the library, I heard someone say that he hoped that the regional signing dates could be made more of throughout the country rather than just February the 6th. And so I looked at the diary, found that the 29th of April was a Sunday, and so we're working towards that. So the treaty will appear again as a focus of one of our services. Communion is going to follow a slightly different order. I'm going to invite you to it in a minute, and then we're going to actually go through the liturgy, which is in the green card, and then we're going to sing the communion hymn, and at the end of it, we form a circle around the church, take your orders of service with you, and then we will come forward from the circle to receive communion. Got a ripple of water on me. One of the most important declarations that St Andrew's makes is written there in your order of service. We are an open community and everyone is invited to Christ's table. Wherever you are on your faith journey, wherever you have come from and wherever you are going, whatever you believe, whatever you do not believe, you are welcome to participate in the communion, God's meal for all people. We serve by intinction, and today, because of some feedback after the Christmas Eve service, as I roam around, there is the opportunity for anyone who really needs a totally gluten-free communion to accept it from me, so that you have juice and wine that are dedicated to gluten-free crackers and won't be contaminated by bread. So at the beginning of the communion, I'll go and stand at one side or the other, and if you need that, come and see me, and then I'll go around and serve the people who can't move from their seats. And we hope that will include everybody. So turning to the green card. The peace of God be with you. In the presence of the loving God, we lift our hearts in joy and give thanks. Let us give thanks for the continuity of the universe, for the sun rising day by day and the moon rising night by night, for all the life with which we share this planet, for the interactions and connections that bind us to it, and the elements of which all is composed. Let us give thanks. Let us give thanks for the flow of human history, for the events that have shaped and moulded us and all our sisters and brothers, for the ones who question that history, for the ones who unearth the stories of the vanquished, the oppressed, the forgotten, the unrecorded. Let us give thanks. Take our place in the human story, struggling for the unity of humankind. Let us give thanks for the ones who have provided inspiration and hope, for prophets and martyrs and poets, thinkers and preachers and healers, for the ones who have linked thought and action, for reformers and rebels and strikers. Let us give thanks and join with them in the quest for justice. Let us give thanks for all who have revealed or discovered deep and lasting truths. Let us celebrate their lives and deaths, their thoughts and writings, their continuing witness in the world today. Let us give thanks and share in spreading this prophetic vision. Today we give thanks for Jesus of Nazareth, in whom Christians believe that God was especially present, one of the channels through which God was made known to humanity. On the night that he was betrayed, he feasted with his followers. He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it, broken for you. Do this whenever you eat it in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, this wine of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." For all that Jesus of Nazareth means to us, we give thanks. So today we share bread and wine together as a sign that we are one humanity, as a pledge that we will work for justice, as a foretaste of that which can be despite what is and what has been. May the Spirit that guides us all be present in this feast, taking this bread and wine, the concerns that we have expressed and the lives that we lead, transforming them all for the unity of all creation and the service of love. God, whose body is all creation, may we come to know you in all the earth and feel you in our heartbeat. So will no part of us or the world be lost to your transforming grace. Thanks be to God, say all who worship in spirit and truth. Thanks be to God for the gift of life. And we sing, "Draw the Circle Wide." bread of life, which is broken for us, the cup of blessing, which is poured out for us. The feast is ended and the work of the world lies before us. Many who work for change suffer resistance, so make us strong. Many who do new things sometimes feel afraid, so make us brave. Many who challenge the world as it is arouse anger, so grant us inner peace. Many who live joyful lives are envied, so make us generous. Many who try to love encounter hate, so we trust in you, O God of gracious love. Amen. Then, upon the way this week, think about what you sign up to and why you do it. And know that every moment of every day, love surrounds you all. So may it be.